True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
That's right. Larry Glass is here. I haven't seen him in a long time. It's been a week or so.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while, though. We're here for Green Country Gardener. As we were doing earlier, we're still doing it. We're taking calls, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Either or, we'll get you here for Green Country Gardener. And it's kind of getting to be that kind of season now. It was cold, and now it's kind of cold but kind of rainy, but it's getting warmer.
It's going to get warmer. It's going to be consistently warmer. It's a bit early to think about planting a lot of your flowers and things.
Okay.
So don't be in too big a rush.
Spring is getting here, but not quite the time.
Yeah, I've been a nurseryman for about 40 years, and I know it's too early. So don't be in too big a rush. What you really need to do is a lot of thinking at this point.
Okay.
What kind of flowers do you want in the front of your house as far as annuals are concerned? And how well did they do last year? What do you need to do? What kind of changes do you need to make as far as your soil is concerned, et cetera, et cetera? Before you go off and plant these things. They look real pretty in the stores and all that, but you just got to use, they have to be planted properly.
Okay.
Have to use a little discretion on them.
So people get excited that it's warm weather and they start doing things too early.
Yeah.
And you say planting. Is there other things you can do too early at this point in time? Is this just we need to go outside, look at things, think about what we like, really plan it out and get detailed about that?
But you're correct in that, yes.
Okay.
And you also need to look at your existing plants and shrubs and see if they need any help.
Okay.
There are an awful lot of plants in town I see around houses that really could stand to be pruned a little bit.
So it's a good pruning season?
Yeah, it's great for that. Still it's good for that. The roses are starting to come out, and just because they're coming out and it's cool doesn't mean you you have to neglect them or ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
That you need to start spraying for your roses, especially your hybrid tree tea roses. If you do have a problem with black spot on your roses, now's the time to start controlling that. And if you haven't pruned them back yet, by all means, get after it, because they're spending a lot of energy growing those new leaves. And if you cut them all off, that's just energy loss that could have gone into some high-quality flowers.
Okay.
Crepe myrtles, people have it. Oh, golly, should I cut back my crepe myrtle or shouldn't I? And that seems to be one of the biggest questions. And actually, no, you can go ahead and do it now. But in my observations of the crepe myrtles around town, they died back about anywhere from 6 to 9 inches from the top.
Okay.
So if you want it to get tall, don't really cut it back too far, because they're going to leaf out pretty close to the top this year. So I like to wait on the crepe myrtles before I cut them back till the leaves begin to emerge. And a lot of times that's in late April, early May, when the leaves start to come out. That way you know exactly where they're going to leaf out. So if you want some additional height on your crepe myrtles, you can maximize that by waiting until the leaves come out.
Okay.
Okay. Also, your crepe myrtles, time to put the bone meal around them. We said, why do we want bone meal around my crepe myrtles? Come on, Larry, what?
is that a question you get often?
Yeah. The bone meal has a lot of phosphorus in it and calcium,
mm-hmm.
and that helps build up the plant cell walls on the plants themselves. And the phosphorus helps enhance the color and the size of the flowers on your crepe myrtles. At bone meal now, you think, well, they don't bloom for a few months. What's the deal? Well, it takes a few months for the bone meal to become available to the plant. It's a biologic process. In order to free up the phosphorus in there, the bone meal has to be worked on by some bacteria in the soil. So, and it takes time. And if you do it right now, it'll be available at the time when the flowers need it.
And so that's interesting. It takes a couple of months for it to really work, I guess.
Exactly.
So it's too early to start planting, but it's not too early to start preparing and getting those things
right.
ready for when it gets warm.
Well, it depends on what you're planting. Shrubs are just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Things like boxwoods and azaleas and andinas and, you know, those kind of things. They can be planted right now easily.
That's right.
But your tender plants, really, you want to wait. We got a caller?
We do have a caller.
All
right,
put him on.
Okay. Caller, you're on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Sorry to bother you. I wanted to know the phone number for the temperature. What's the temperature?
It's 47 degrees outside.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great day. Well, all right. Do you want to know the temperature? We got the temperature.
Well, it ain't warm and it ain't too cold.
It's kind of middle, there, yeah. Kind of middle ground. A little. It's you know, it seems like the last few weeks it's been in the 70s and windy and stuff. And today the rain has kind of made it 47 degrees.
Rain.
A little bit cool. Well, a little bit. There was a little bit last night. I was driving. My car was wet when I got in this morning.
It settled the mud a little bit.
That's right.
Settled the dust, yeah. But anyway, we were talking about getting things ready for the spring and planting and all that. And another thing that needs to be pruned at this point are the nandinas.
Okay.
All over town, they look really, really bad. That's because we had a cold spell earlier on in the winter where mm-hmm. it was 0 degrees. Pretty cold, but the cold weather that came on, the 0 degree weather, was not associated with any precipitation, which is typical around here when in the wintertime, when it gets really cold, a front comes through and then we have snow or some kind of rain before it happened. This didn't happen.
Right.
I think we had a little dusting of snow this year at the most.
Yeah, I was like, I can't think of anything that happened.
So it killed back some plants.
Okay.
One plant that's up and coming. Is the Raphiolepis.
Wow.
Or the Raphiolepis indica.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, it is. Ooh. But
scary.
It's also called Indian hawthorn.
Okay.
But the advantage of this plant is that it has pink or white flowers in the spring, lots of them, and interesting glossy foliage, and it doesn't get to be such a large plant. But it's just not quite hardy here. That cold spell did set them back, and they're just dead all over town, but they're starting to green up and come back.
Okay.
They will come back from the roots. So if you have a Indian hawthorn or Raphiolepis, then it can be just cut back, and it'll snap out of it and come back from the roots.
Yeah, so everything's not a loss then, is
yeah,
what you're saying.
Yeah, the Baybreeze Raphiolepis is one that's a little hardier than most. And it's a unique plant in that it kind of grows real low to the ground, mm-hmm. kind of winds its way around boulders and things. It's really a nice plant. And the pink flowers on it in the spring can't be beat. But there are situations where this plant can be used, and it's really an intriguing, interesting plant. I do like the winter color of it, too. It's a really dark purple color in the winter.
Oh, wow.
And the leaves are, you know, like I said, real glossy. And it stays in place real nicely. Okay. But it didn't rain before it got cold. And they weren't watered properly, and
all right.
There's some problems. So we're just at the extreme, extreme northern, very far limit of it not doing very well.
Right. So I mean, what do you do for that then?
In the wintertime, just ensure that your plants are watered. It seems kind of odd to run your sprinkler system in the winter or stand out there with a hose and water your plants. But you have to do that now. I've watered my plants all winter, kept a heavy layer of mulch on them, and they did fine this winter. I'm having to cut things back.
Is there ever a chance in the wintertime, it's cold, right? It's dry. It's like 3 degrees and the winds are blowing. And so you need to water your plants. Is there ever a chance of them, you know, too much water, freezing, what have you, that can hurt the plants?
There is a chance of too much water, yes. That's always a problem. But it was so, so dry this winter, I don't think there would have been much of a problem with that, really. And it doesn't, when it's cold, usually it's cold for a brief period of time. And then it warms up. That's a typical winter weather pattern. It doesn't stay cold for a long period of time. So just keep things well watered and they should do okay.
Okay. And so don't hesitate to water, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And we've been doing planting some trees this week and doing some sod work and whatnot. And the ground is just hard as a rock. I mean, the tiller just bounced. We had, in order to get the ground broken, we had to use picks and shovels just to break the ground up before the tiller would break it up. It is that dry out there. So
you have to do the manual labor before you let the machine do it. Like,
exactly.
Like, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And the machine just going, la-da-da-da-da, you know, I'm doing fine over here. But we tried it with, and, you know, it's the only way to do it. And we had four guys over there with shovels tearing up but loosening up the soil so the tiller would break up the clods.
Man, you gotta help the machine get on its way. Machine trying to help you, and you gotta help it.
I'll rent a bulldozer or a crackerjack or something.
There you go.
But anyway.
It's just that dry and cold and hard of a ground.
Yeah, so it's not always a piece of cake getting the ground ready.
Right.
And we are going to get some rain, I believe, tomorrow. So that should help settle things down a little bit, make it easier to plant stuff.
Okay.
So and then on and all next week, it looks like, I think late next week. That's not the latest one. That's an old one there.
Our forecast?
Yeah,
that's what? This morning.
No, that's last night.
It's March 5th. It's 4:45 a.m. March 25th.
Yeah,
that's today.
It's 7.
Well.
It's 8:30. Come on, get out of here.
We got to get updated. We got to get updated on that. I'm sorry. I'll print another one out.
But it looks like there's a Tuesday night, there's a 70% chance of rain. Wednesday, 70% chance of rain. Wednesday night, 70% chance of rain. So it looks like midweek it's going to come again.
Right.
So, and that rain's coming just in time. It'll be the 1st of April or so, and we'll know for sure a 2-week forecast what's happening with the weather. So it's coming just right to get the soil moistened up so people can plant their things without having to go ahead of a tiller with
right.
shovels.
So while Larry over here has to do the hard work, you guys can wait. You don't have to bust out the pickaxes and the shovels just yet.
The lows are going to be in the 40s and so, 50s or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe it won't freeze. I can't say that it won't. We've had to bug out many times at the nursery
right.
because of the cold. Even the first week in April, even as late as the 10th of April, we've had to take all those plants we bought and in nursing along and had to hide them under the shade house. But anyway,
hopefully not coming up.
So anyway, that leads to what we should be doing in the grass right now. This is a very critical time in people's lawns, especially with crabgrass.
not a lot of fun.
it's okay. Crabgrass, in some people's cases, that's the only lawn they have.
That's right, the only green you get. That's right.
So what, you know?
Yeah.
but anyway, if you want a really nice yard, the crabgrass sort of makes a mess of it. And now's the time to control that with some pre-emergent crabgrass control. Now, I was looking at my yard, and because of the warm weather we had last week and this week, some of the crabgrass is up already.
Mm-hmm.
So you will get some control if you put it down now. So you might consider. And I've got some crabgrass preventer in my garage, but usually when I get home, it's been too windy.
Right.
It'll just wind up in the neighbor's yard. So,
I'm sure they would appreciate that. So what is a good point? Where's a good time? What's a good weather condition to put down that stuff before it rains, but hopefully not. I mean, it's always windy.
Well, it depends on how much it rains too. I mean,
right.
In the springtime with the rain coming on, usually it rains like 4 inches and it's gone. And everything you've done is out in the river.
So
if you do put down some crabgrass control, you'll want to water it down.
Okay.
Even though it might have rained the day before or something, you want to water it in just so it gets integrated into the soil. And the more you water it in before the heavy rains come in, the better it's going to work. So you might want to consider, it's not too late.
So get it in there and don't let it just sit at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And probably the best way to control crabgrass is to have a good healthy lawn. And that's following a good fertilization weed control program throughout the summer.
Yeah.
And not to water it too much.
We're getting distracted.
There's Caleb.
Caleb on Caleb Potter's walking in here.
It's going to rain because Charlie went on vacation.
Is he on vacation?
He is.
Well, that's why it's going to. Look at the forecast. Look at that.
That's right.
Yeah.
He manages that perfectly. This is a good point, though. We'll take a quick break here, and we'll start taking calls. 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll take about a 2-minute break, take a quick little breather, and we'll come back with more Green Country Gardener right after this.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals, and Brent, I think you're still continuing a weekend special, right?
Yeah, we are. You come in and pick up the equipment after 1 o'clock on Friday. We'll let you rent it over the weekend for the one-day rate, bring it back Monday morning by 8 o'clock.
So really, you get 2.5 or 3 days for the price of one.
Yeah, that's correct. You get 2 days to use your machine, and it helps out a lot of people, and for the homeowners, that's probably the best deal we got.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Knowwater Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
At Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, you are sure to find an abundance of herbs and geraniums in various colors and pot sizes. And now's the time to plan your vegetable garden. Pick up your garden seeds today at Green Thumb. And you really should be sowing your lawn right now. Green Thumb has 5-star fescue seed in stock. Oh, and be sure to check out Green Thumb's new shipment of trees and shrubs. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Knowwater Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Hi, this is Jeremy with Patriot GMC on Highway 75 in Bartlesville, exclusive home of Warranty Forever. At Patriot GMC, there are no high-pressure sales, and you will enjoy browsing for your next truck or SUV. Go to any major review site or Facebook, and you will see hundreds of comments on how we treat people.
Matt from Wichita says,
Friendly dealers, great showroom and vehicles, very accommodating, really appreciate being called by name.
We are open, transparent, and have more reviews than any other dealer in the area. Come check out Patriot GMC, where we currently have a GMC Terrain for $27,232. The GMC Terrain is a small SUV full of amenities such as a 4G Wi-Fi hotspot so kids can watch Netflix on road trips, a power rear liftgate, and forward collision warning system for your safety. At an affordable $27,232, you'll also get a warranty on the vehicle for as long as you own it. Come let us serve you today at Patriot GMC on Highway 75 in Bartlesville or at GoPatriotAuto.com. GMC, we are professional grade.
2017 GMC Terrain SLE 2, stock number 17149, MSRP $30,785 with a sale price of $27,232. All rebates to dealer.
All right, we are back here for Green Country Gardener. A lot of fun we're having here in the studio. A lot of fun we're doing. Rain's coming. We're getting ready, keeping right. Our lawns, getting that crabgrass. It's not fertilizer, but to kill it, to get rid of it.
Yeah,
crabgrass. I don't think people want crabgrass.
No, they don't. Crabgrass control.
Crabgrass control. Thank you.
Now, typically you have to put it on more than once.
Okay.
Because it only lasts about 3 months or so. So you need to apply it now and then again. This is what March and then April and May. Because I ran into that last year. No crabgrass at all in the spring, but early summer, here it came. So two applications, I think, will be very important. So get enough for two.
Okay.
So anyway, and a healthy lawn is a good defense against weeds, crabgrass, and other things too.
Shameless plug before we continue. Can you get that crabgrass control at your place?
Yes, we do. We have it. We have several forms of crabgrass control. One of them is the extreme version.
The extreme version? Like, yeah. Like, get rid of it
like
all?
My yard is just, forget it. It's a disaster.
What about the caller last week that asked if they could spray Roundup on it right now?
No.
Bermuda.
Absolutely not. Bermuda grass is up, and you missed the boat on that a month ago, so it is up and growing right now, so it's too late to try to put down Roundup on your weeds.
We do have a caller on the line. You want to take that real quick? Caller, you are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Hi. I've planted a dogwood tree, and I have used some of the Miracle-Gro watering it when I planted it.
Right.
So I was wondering if there's anything else that I should do so I sure want to make sure that it stays alive.
Right. Dogwood trees don't really need a whole lot of attention, meaning you don't want to fertilize them too much. So just the spring and the fall would really be adequate with dogwood trees. And don't worry about them getting a little dry in between waterings, too. They're here in this neck of the woods, they are susceptible to stem rot and some other problems like that. So you'll want to just kind of cool it on too much water. And just keep them kind of going, and then they'll do fine. I mean, I've got one in my backyard, and I don't make any effort at all to water it over and above anything else. And it does great.
Yeah. So has it been, in the instructions it said water it once a week. So
yeah.
How long do I need to
What you want to do is give an equivalent of 1 inch of water per week. I know that's difficult to say. But do you water with a hose or do you use a sprinkler?
Well, at the moment I'm using a gallon jug, you know, that I got the sprinkler thing on the end of it so
yeah.
I can get it right where I want it.
Right. So typically it's difficult to say how much depending on how big an area you're doing, because we're thinking of a volumetric term, and an inch of water you spread out over an area is, you know, so many cubic feet and so on and so on. I would say probably a 5 gallon bucket or two of those once a week should be enough.
Two of those a week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, and how long into probably through this first summer, I need to probably really watch it.
Yeah, the first summer, yeah, you do want to water it. And if it does rain, of course, you don't have to water it when it's raining. But yeah, if it gets really dry this summer, which I know it probably will.
And so,
as usual,
you recommend for that kind of a tree, would it be better to get the spikes or use the Miracle-Gro as our water?
I would prefer
to
use a granular fertilizer at the drip line twice a year, spring and fall. Hello?
Is there a number on that granular that should be used?
Yeah, just a formula that's for trees and shrubs, and that's a fairly even ratio.
Okay.
Maybe an 8-6-8, but not too much nitrogen, or a 10-20-10 even, but something with some trace elements in it, and maybe a little magnesium sulfate to try to keep the pH down. So just a good, well-balanced fertilizer with some trace elements in it should do just fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. We do have another caller on the line. You want to take that? Caller, you are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to follow up on your crepe myrtles. You said that to use some bone meal on it.
Correct.
Measurement-wise, how much do you put on there per plant?
Oh, there's no real... There might be a minimum number, perhaps, but there's no real maximum to worry about. It's an organic thing, and it really won't... you can't overdo it. But
okay.
I would go... If you have a real big crepe myrtle, you might want to go with 2 pounds of bone meal around it.
How much is that? Like, is that 2 cups, or...?
It's probably about 4 cups.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
work it into the soil a little bit, if possible.
Okay. Is there any other fertilizers you'd recommend for that, too?
For crepe myrtles, at this point in time, no. Not until they leaf out and start to grow do you want to use a chemical-type fertilizer.
Oh, okay. What about bushes that already have leaves that are out that are like year-round,
yes,
like a holly or something like that?
Yes, by all means, go ahead and give your holly some fertilizer. And nandinas are starting to bloom out right now. Boxwoods are definitely growing out right now. So, yeah, go ahead and give those your tree and shrub fertilizer.
All right. And then what should you use for mites for the roses?
Ooh, mites. They're tough to control. And I like to use neem oil. And you have to apply it fairly frequently, or a light summer oil to control mites. Yeah, it works pretty effectively.
Do you spray that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also, on hydrangeas, I heard that you're supposed to use Epsom salt on them. I'm kind of afraid to do that because it's salt, but... When do you add that, and how much of that do you add?
Well, with the word Epsom salt, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Because Epsom salt is magnesium sulfate, and it does taste a little salty. But what it does is lower the soil pH, so your hydrangeas will have a blue cast to them. That's the primary reason for using Epsom salt. The hydrangeas are tolerant of different soil pHs. And their color of the flower, depending on the variety of the hydrangea, the color changes depending on the soil pH. So if you want a blue, Epsom salts. If you really don't care, they'll be a lavenderish pink color, which is fine too. Or even if the pH is really high, it'll be a more intense pink color.
Okay. Then how much of that do you have?
How much Epsom salts?
Yes.
1 pound per 1,000 square feet will lower the pH. No, one pound per 100 square feet will lower the pH 1 point.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Oh, also, that Epsom salt is good for your tomatoes, too.
Oh, really?
Tomatoes like a pH of about 6 to 6.5.
And now, do you have that before the tomatoes start coming up? Or?
Yeah, you get it into your soil. It helps a lot, and also if you've had a problem with blossom end rot, some gypsum would help on your tomatoes too.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling.
All right. So board is clear. We would love to take your call. 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. have your glasses answering all sorts of questions about all sorts of things.
Speaking of hydrangeas.
You just rattling off chemicals on the top of your head and stuff, and that's so impressive to me.
But it's just a little early to probably do a heavy cutback on the hydrangeas.
Huh?
We had a cold spell and did set them back. I was at a house yesterday. He had a hydrangea on the north side of the house. And it's really flushing out on the bottom. But on the top, there's just a few little buds here and there. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you go ahead and cut out the stuff that you know is killed off by the winter. Because it's very easy to see, and it just kind of breaks off. but right. Some of the stems had, as you go up the stem, the buds were progressively smaller as you go up. And that's because some of the vascular tissue was damaged by the cold, and it's not transmitting enough material up there. And a healing process has to take into effect. So I said, you two choices. You can cut it all the way down to the ground, and they'll come out nice and fresh. Or if you want some more height, go ahead and just wait a little bit longer until all the damaged tissue has a chance to repair itself, and then they'll start to leaf out at the top.
And how long is that repair process, that healing process, how long does that take?
Oh, pretty quickly, really, yeah.
Okay.
So it won't take very long. And I've got a lace cap in my backyard. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I've not cut it back yet because coming up heavy in the bottom and a little bit on the top, and I'm just waiting to see what happens. And if I'm not happy with the leaves on the top, if the leaves don't get characteristically large as do hydrangea leaves, then the tissues in there are damaged beyond the point where they're going to repair themselves, so just cut it off. So I guess the jury will be out in a couple of weeks as to whether or not we do a heavy cutback on our hydrangeas this year.
So still
we'll just wait a little bit and see how the leaves develop. And if they develop rapidly, then that's fine. But if they kind of linger around and they just, and sometimes actually the leaf out, then they'll just turn over and die after a while because it just can't support that.
Right.
The leaf on the top. So you'll want to cut them off. So a safe bet, yeah, would be to cut them back.
Okay. So
and it's kind of the same thing with the nandinas now. They're the original plant that was found on the planet Mars, and they brought them over on a Mars lander.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, back in the 50s. You remember all those flying saucer movies?
I mean...
That really happened. Yeah. They brought nandinas back from Mars.
They're documentaries.
These plants are that tough, in other words. I'm just kidding. I don't believe that.
I don't know. I mean, I was not born in the 50s, but not alive at that point in time. But.
Well, I was, but I don't remember too much.
Fair enough.
Anyway, the nandinas, the point I'm making is the nandinas are extraordinarily tough.
Okay.
And they get the just tall and leggy looking after a few years. And right now you can see that. There's a lot of old corky tissue and a lot of people's nandinas. And I was at somebody's house. I said, yeah, you need to cut them to where they're about 10 inches tall. She said, oh, my goodness, I'll lose most of the plant. No, not really. They'll come back up from the roots.
Okay.
They will. And they'll be nice and fresh and look like new plants again. So it's time to do a heavy cutback on nandinas, and I think we really need to do that because mine are going to get the big haircut this weekend.
I was going to say, so a lot of these plants that we're talking about have, the healing process is very quick, and they come back full. Yeah. I think a lot of people may be a little bit scared to kind of, if I cut it, it won't come back. And it's, But you're saying go ahead and start cutting back because they will heal and they'll come back better.
Barberries especially. Mm-hmm. Actually, barberries and nandinas are related. You can tell they're related by the wood down below is a bright yellow color. Well, nandinas and barberries, when you cut them, it's this stoplight yellow colored wood in there. And they're related, and they come back rather well. Barberries do come back real nicely if they're cut back strongly, too, this time. So do that. Cut them back.
So it's getting ready. Time to take a trip to the barber.
Exactly.
Get a haircut for some of these.
You bet. So anyway, my dwarf nandinas are going to get I already did the moon bays. I've got some moon bays up front. I already cut them back real far. And the dwarf Yopan Holly's got it a few weeks ago. Okay. And they're 30 years old, but they're not even knee high right now.
Because oh, wow.
I just cut them back basically every year with the hedge trimmers really far. And they come back really nice.
Okay. So it's a good time to do some of this.
Yeah, it's still time to do that. We talked about the Valentine's Massacre, 3 weeks ago. Well, it's still time to do that.
Okay. Is there anything you should not cut back? I should ask that.
If it's going to bloom in the spring or early summer, don't cut it back.
Okay.
That's the primary rule. Forsythias are doing their thing right now. They'll be done pretty soon. Then it's time to cut them back.
Okay.
The flowering quince, the same thing. That's another spring blooming flower. The snowball bush, they haven't bloomed yet. So don't cut them back. You'll cut off their flowers. Lilacs are just now starting to bloom. And typically when the lilacs are in bloom, it's time to put down the crabgrass control. So this is all coming together right now. So, but don't cut back your lilacs right now because you'll miss out on the blooms also.
Okay. So things time to get cut back, but not everything. I look at our time here. I think we're going to take another quick two-minute break. I say quick. It's 2 minutes no matter what. But we'll take another two-minute break here. Give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass would love to take your calls. He's just exciting and patiently waiting for your phone calls in here. But we'll take your calls again, two-minute break, and we'll come back after this.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Hi, I found a toy dinosaur over on the playground by Smith Street. It had this phone number on it, and, well, I just wanted to make sure the dinosaur made it back to its little owner.
When I found the little sippy cup, I just had to give you a call. It's for a kid, you know?
I know my son gets super attached to the smallest things, even a fire truck, and I'd be happy to drop it off.
We'd do anything for kids, yet 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. Help end childhood hunger near you. Learn how at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Visit Peter's True Value at their new location in Dewey and find great values at excellent prices. Peter's carries a full range of Bonanza minerals and feeds from Mid-America Feeds in Tallulah. Need a new weed eater? Peter's now is an authorized Echo brand dealer carrying weed eaters and more. Check out their other new departments too, like lawn and garden. They've even got expanded inventory throughout the store, so you'll always find just what you need. Get more out of your shopping day with new hours of 8 to 7 Monday through Friday and Saturday 8 to 5. That's Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage, Highway 75 in Dewey. Peter's True Value. Start right. Start here.
All right, we are back for Green Country Gardener. What a bumper. We got all sorts of crazy bumpers going on here. Charlie, I tell you what, he's doing all sorts of magic with these bumpers. We had Christmas music last time I was on here. Now we've got...
I sent him a whole bunch of classical music bumpers.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe got lost in the mail, but...
I'll have to do that again.
You'll have to come back. Tell him exactly what you want. Okay. We'll make sure we get it on. But rain is coming. You know, getting ready for plants, getting ready for hopefully it'll be enough to help something out other than just
right.
Setting that dirt in.
Holly plants.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of holly plants out there. And most of them share a similar attribute in that they like slightly acidic soil.
Okay.
Well, Bartlesville, for the most part, is known for slightly alkaline soil. So we have to look at our holly plants and look at the health of them and I walked up to people's houses, and the things I look for are the length of the node between the leaves, first of all, and then the size of the leaf before you can determine exactly what it might need in the soil. And most of all, it needs some iron sulfate. The iron sulfate helps lower the pH, and it helps give some iron that the holly plants really need for them to do very well. And sometimes just some nitrogen is necessary, too. But our soil around here, for the most part, is lies up on top of limestone.
Okay.
And it has we call that the parent material, is limestone based. And it does tend to be a little alkaline. I know in Sooner Park and some other places and all that, you go in there and you see all of these potted plants with little bitty leaves on it. And that tells you, and azaleas are especially that way too. They'll tell you exactly what they need just by the leaf size. And the node, the internode, the link to the internode. So
is there a place in Bartlesville where they would thrive? You said it was most of it's not a good place, but.
Circle Mountain is a good place. Good place for hollies. They do very well up there. And Woodland Park, the old Woodland Park. There's a really nice, beautiful plants over there. And we planted some real good ones east of town, too.
Okay.
So they do pretty well there, too. So there are little areas where they do well, but for the most part, they do pretty well here. They can tolerate some variations in soil pH, but sometimes it gets to the point where they simply can't tolerate it. And that is made worse a lot of times by the foundation of the house, the limestone or the lime in the concrete leaching out into the soil over the years.
Okay.
Causing an increase in pH. Now, what I do with my hollies every year is I get a big old bag of iron sulfate and just put it around there. Mm-hmm. And it makes such a really dark, glossy green color on your holly plants. Mm-hmm. It makes a great big difference in how healthy they are. And you can fertilize all you want all day long, but if the pH isn't right, then they can't take it up. It has something to do with the chemical reactions in the roots and how they take up the active transport in the roots and how the nutrients are brought into the roots, to the root hairs. Mm-hmm. And if the pH isn't right, it doesn't recognize, basically it doesn't recognize the nutrients, and it can't take it up. So we have just a wide variety of different plants over here, and they have different requirements and tolerances. So if we know that, then we can go ahead and address them specifically. So they'll do very well and be very healthy. We have a caller?
We do have a caller. You ready?
Go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air for Green Country Gardener.
I missed what you guys were saying about cutting back the roses. Haven't cut them back. I've got a knockout rose. It don't really look like it needs to be cut back. It's got some big, giant stalks.
Right.
And then I've got an old English rose, looks mm-hmm. okay, but it's probably 7 foot tall. And then several other regular roses, what I call regular roses.
Yeah, regular. Yeah, those would be the hybrid teas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your knockout roses, they do need to be cut back about a month ago. And you want to, you can still do it. It won't hurt them any. but they have a lot of stems on them, and some of them get real heavy and kind of old looking. And
yep.
If you can, you need to remove those as much as possible.
Okay, what about the knockout rose?
That's the knockout rose. You want to do that. Basically, a cutting back process as well as a thinning process on it. If you keep cycling new branches in there, new stems coming up, it's always going to look really good.
There's a lot of old stems, probably over an inch and a half in diameter. Should I cut those?
Yeah, those like me, they're getting old and lazy, so they need to be cut out.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
But
you
do want to you do want to thin them out a little bit as well as cut them back somewhat too. So I did that on my knockouts. I usually cut them back in August, real heavily. Come back pretty nice and have a good fall bloom, and then and then in the spring when they come out, they look really nice too. But so, yeah, just thin them out a little bit and cut out the big old dead stuff. You might get your Sawzall out there if you can to get it, if you can't get into it.
Yeah, make a good clean cut.
Yep. Yeah, make a good clean cut. All right.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling. And fertilize them, too.
Yep, I'll be sure and do that.
All right.
Appreciate you calling in.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. So, again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Give us a call. Give Larry a call. I'm just running the board.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't know how to run that thing, but anyway.
Hey, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about pruning or any of that. So.
At the nursery, we've got some new tropicals. We have a great selection of new shrubs, some large trees. We got some new stuff out there too. A few new roses.
Okay.
We've got some knockouts. We have some Julia Childs. That's got to be one of my favorites, the Julia Child rose.
Yeah.
Because it grows very well with no care at all. Maples, we have some large 30-gallon maples, which are really nice, big, heavy, husky trees. Mm-hmm. And golly, they should come with a free rake. They're that big. And a few oaks and some bald cypress. And the perennials are starting to pop up, too. We've got a lot of those. They've gone through stage 1, stage 2, and a lot of our perennials are in stage 3 right now. That means they've been acclimated to the climate here. And that's the only time we sell them is when they're acclimated to our climate. We don't grow them in a greenhouse and then expose them to the elements and expect them to do well. They won't.
Right.
So these have been grown right in your backyard, basically. So come check them out. The flowering shrubs and some new red buds. Check out the geraniums, too. We have a great crop of geraniums. We've been working on these things since last fall. And they're really nice-looking plants. We're selling a lot of them, too.
Good.
So
a lot of good
they're
stuff.
They're in heavy bloom now. Too early to plant outside yet, but you can enjoy them on a table or something and bring them in if it gets cold. I don't really think it's going to freeze anymore. But
I hope not.
You never know.
We say that, but I hope not.
So while you're there at the nursery, pick up some crabgrass control.
Crabgrass, don't pick up the crabgrass.
Crabgrass control. And you might get a bit of mulch, too. Check out our bulk mulch. We'll bring it to your house. Big old pile of mulch. It's not that expensive. And spread around your yard. It's really nice, very fine grind of cedar mulch. Cedar mulch is a little different than cypress. Cedar is a chop from old knockdown cedar trees in Missouri and whatnot.
Right.
And, so it's local. And it's kind of attractive because the pieces of it are really small. And they don't tend to blow in the wind if they're smaller in size. Mainly because they just sort of can't roll around. So... do we have to make a break?
Yeah, we do have to make a break. I didn't want to interrupt you there. We're going on. But we'll take a quick break, another 2-minute break.
That's cool.
We will come back. Again, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be right back. 2 minutes.
At Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, you are sure to find an abundance of herbs and geraniums in various colors and pot sizes. And now's the time to plan your vegetable garden. Pick up your garden seeds today at Green Thumb. And you really should be sowing your lawn right now. Green Thumb has 5-star fescue seed in stock. Oh, and be sure to check out Green Thumb's new shipment of trees and shrubs. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowater Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Hi, this is Jeremy with Patriot Hyundai on Highway 75 in Bartlesville, the exclusive home of Warranty Forever. And customers realize that we are different. At Patriot Hyundai in Bartlesville, we have marked down Hyundai Elantras to $16,500. That's a 4-door sedan with 40 miles per gallon for under $17,000. Hyundai offers America's best warranty at 10 years or 100,000 miles. Not only will you get Hyundai Assurance, but at Patriot, you can be assured we will treat you with respect and no pressure. I challenge you to look up what your friends are saying about us online today.
Frida from Bartlesville says,
met all my needs, even water. Got a better deal than I expected. I feel like I made a few friends. They even helped move things out of my trade-in. Very helpful.
At Patriot, we're transparent and have more online reviews than any other dealer in the area. Come on out to Patriot Hyundai, where we're taking $3,000 off Elantras. Patriot Hyundai, exclusive home of Warranty Forever. Let us serve you today on Highway 75 in Bartlesville or at patriothyundai.com. Come see us during Hyundai's spring cleaning sales event.
2017 Elantra SE, stock number 17005, MSRP $20,090, a sale price of $16,967, all rebates to dealer.
Parental involvement is the key to your child's success at school. This is Alicia Priest, president of the Oklahoma Education Association. Whether it's volunteering at school, communicating with teachers on a regular basis, or helping with homework, we know that parental involvement is crucially important. So get involved. Working together, parents and educators can make this a great school year for every student in Oklahoma.
A message from the Oklahoma Education Association.
We are back through the grapevine. Good stuff. You're doing all sorts of good things out at the nursery right now. We're talking about molds beforehand. You got good deals on that. You're bringing to people.
We've got some innovative pots too.
Okay.
Yeah, some pretty cool looking handmade pots with the glaze on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
They're really quite attractive. So I need to keep my wife away from there.
Absolutely.
She likes that kind of stuff. But anyway, they are pretty.
We do have another caller. Do you want to take
Yeah,
take
sure. Put them on. Take them on.
Caller, you are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Hello?
Well, maybe not. Caller, are you there for Green Country Gardener?
No.
Well, maybe not. All right, perfect. Answers the question perfectly right there. So
Must be the village mime.
That's right. So, anyway. So we've got pots going on that are real nice and stuff that you're making.
Yeah, good decorative pots are real pretty and all that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they look do well in groups and clusters on the patio or something.
Okay.
You put herbs in it. We got a good selection of herbs right now, so you can put those herbs in it. I don't know if I'd want to venture forth too far to put the herbs outside yet, but we'll see. You can always cover them if it's going to get cold.
So is that dependent on weather kind of a deal, kind of the temperature?
It is, really. And if it is going to get extraordinarily cold, and you do have potted plants, you can put like a bamboo pole or something in the middle and drape a sheet over it or something to help protect it.
Oh, wow.
Or a plastic sheet or something. But you don't want the plastic to touch the leaves because the cold will transmit right through it. So you have to make a tent, if you will.
Okay.
So that's there. Haven't seen any hummingbirds yet. Or it's a bit early. But we will have a good selection of plants that hummingbirds really like.
Okay.
So if you want a hummingbird garden or a butterfly garden, now's the time to start thinking about planning about that too. For them to be effective, it has to be a fairly large garden. And you have to get a little cooperation with your neighbors just because they're wandering. Basically, they just drift through the air, butterflies do. And they have to just come across it. So.
Okay. So hummingbirds coming in. We do have one more caller, and we have just a little bit of time to take that. So, caller, you are on the air for Green Country Gardener.
Yes, good morning. My question is, you said about treating your roses for the black spot right now, and how should I treat those, and it's a good time to transplant my azaleas.
Yeah, you can transplant azaleas almost any time except when it's really hot. But as far as treatment for black spot on roses, we have systemic fungicides that are very effective in controlling that without a whole lot of work, you know what I mean?
What are they?
What's that?
What are these?
We have several of them, systemic. I can't think of the name right now, but golly.
Well, I mean, the chemicals that are in them, what are those?
I don't recall what it is. There's a lot of different ones, but at this point in time, a systemic fungicide would work quite well.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
Absolutely. Okay, we appreciate you calling in. We got a couple minutes left to go here. A lot of buttons aren't working, but that's good. Got a lot of things still to go here. A couple minutes left to go here. People have questions. They want to come out. Where are you at as far as location?
Yeah, Green Thumb Nursery is halfway between Madison Boulevard and Washington Boulevard on the south side of the road.
Okay.
A half mile from either direction. And we got a big old sign up front that says Green Thumb, you know.
Can't miss it. Can't miss it. What are your hours?
Right now it's 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday. And in early April we'll be open on Sunday also.
Okay. So 9 to 5 and good things here. You'll probably be heading over there pretty soon. Probably. I say that because we're trying to wrap things up here.
Okay.
But I appreciate you coming out. You got one more thing you want to add?
No, not really. Just
come out and see you and stuff.
Come out and see us and enjoy all the beauty. Enjoy the waterfall and whatever. And you'll probably see something up there you didn't even know existed. I mean, there's a lot of plants, a lot of different things to look at.
Absolutely. I appreciate you coming in. It's been Green Country Gardener with the Emerald Thumb himself, Larry Glass. I appreciate you coming in here. We're going to run the other break that we have here, and we'll wrap things up here on K1AM 1400 FM 93.3 and also KGGF 690. So,
right. Okay,
good,
Ben.
Good time.
Ben, keep your shovel sharp. See you next week.
Absolutely appreciate it.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand most trusted by builders and remodelers, Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they are our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Searching for the best mower? Bobcat commercial mowers are the top of the food chain and built like you'd build them. Select models feature the Bobcat 6-year or 2,750-hour Mow with Confidence Limited Warranty. Get 0% interest rate for 48 months with your first payment due 35 days from date of closing and a $50 customer origination fee. Save money, cut grass, slash downtime with the fierce performance of a Bobcat.
Hi, I'm John Summer. Come see us at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles south of Ulaga on 169, or John's Tractor Works at Veneta, Oklahoma, 4 miles east of Veneta on 69.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
News on the way on K1.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
The bill that Republicans meant to replace.